We would like to pray for David and Moon Jong Wei, and also pray for Karen Ramsey. You know the prayer requests at least in the bulletin. Let's start, you know, continue our worship by praying for our missionaries and pray that God will protect them and bless them, and also pray and ask God to prepare our heart to listen to His word. So let's spend some time together in prayer. Everybody, if you like, you pray for them. Okay, let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you. Thank you for David and Moon Jong, for their ministry. And thank you for using them in Cambodia. Just continue to pray for their ministry with the co-workers. Raise up more local nationals and be with Karen as she hurt herself. And just pray. Father God, this morning, as we worship you, our heart goes to our missionaries, David and Moon Jong and their family in Cambodia. Lord, you know that they serve you faithfully over there. We just pray that God, you be with them. Just help them to, you know, rely on you and, you know, turn to you all the time, whatever they plan, whatever they want to do. Lord, you know that it's not easy to serve over there among the Cambodians. We want to thank you for their hearts for you and the many nationals that they have trained and be their co-workers. So we want to thank you. Just pray the Lord as they launch out different kinds of ministry. Lord, you bless their ministry so that many will be, you know, blessed and they will come to know who is Jesus Christ. We want to remember our sister Karen this morning as she fell and hurt herself. We are not exactly sure what happened. We just pray the Lord you will really just be with her, keep her in your hand, and, you know, give her peace and give her a quick recovery. Lord, we remember her and her family. Lord, we want to thank you for, you know, for being our God. We want to thank you for giving them the opportunity to serve overseas. We want to thank you. And I want to thank you for the wonderful songs and worship time that we have. And as we continue to look at your word, we just pray that, Lord, your presence be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, this morning, I would like to bring your attention to Job chapter 1. If Richard can, you know, get ready to show some verses from Job chapter 1, that would be great. I would like to start this second, you know, the springtime, you know, the second quarter with Job. You know, I would like to encourage speakers to share more about faith. How can we Christian? We can walk a life of faith in the Lord. This is very important. So this coming 3 months, at least in the Chinese side, we will emphasize on this. But in the English side, you know, I hope some of you would like to share more on this topic. The reason I chose Job, not because Job is the best book in the Bible, but it's one of the best. Okay. I chose this book because in Chinese translation, my name appeared twice in this book. Okay, none other book but this book. So it's something that, you know, draw my attention. Like, okay, I would like to really know more about this book. Of course, our first son is called Job, so but another, that's not the main reason. The real reason here is, I really feel like Job chapter 1-2. You know, have a lot of things that we can learn from there. As Christians, start from the very beginning, I ask questions as all the Christians ask similar questions. And then one day when I was, you know, visiting a family, I was a pastor there in Malaysia, and then one family really just, she broke down before me and started crying. and saying that God is not fair. I was so touched, and I don't know how to say it. I don't know how to, you know, comfort her. What she was saying was, you know, her family came from mainland China and third generation in Malaysia, and they were faithful Christian. They attend the church, they have a lot of involvement in different kind of ministries, and they were just, you know, recognized as very faithful and, you know, godly family. And then she asked me why. I couldn't answer. I don't know how to say. The problem was her son and the neighbor's son both went to Bible school. And her son engaged a beautiful young girl in the seminary. And then they have problems, so the neighbor's son helped them. And end up, the neighbor's son married his fiancée. I don't know exactly what happened. But she cried and cried, saying that, "Pastor, this is not fair. We, you know, for several generations, we work and we are still faithful Christian. Why God allowed this to happen to our family? I have no answer." You know, when I read Job, okay, I go through a few verses from verse 1 to verse 5. I say this is a great man, really great man. For sure, people like him, God will have, you know, double blessing. God will have, you know, double protection. And this man will never have anything that will touch him, that will hurt him, because God is with him. And he is really somebody that has become my motto, like, okay, if I want to be a successful Christian, strong Christian, okay, I would like to be somebody like him. Let's, you know, just go through chapter 1, verse 1 to 5, and then you can feel like, okay, this man is something that is, you know, we as Christian, we should take seriously, saying that if we would like to really be a good Christian, this is someone that we would like to follow. This is a good example. So let's go through together verse 1 to 5. In the land of Uz, let's read together, okay? There lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. When the period of fasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom, regular custom. Wow. Can you name another person easily that someone, you know, God said that he is blameless and righteous? That this person fear God and shun evil? You know, it's difficult to find somebody like him. And then God bless him with how many sons? 7 sons. 7 is a good number. Okay? We don't encourage people to have 7 sons and 3 daughters nowadays, but, you know, this is a good number. And then with a lot of animals, that's possession, rich man. Everybody admire, wow, Job and his family. They must be blessed by God with good children, with a lot of animals, possession. They are rich people, and they are good people, God-fearing people. When I read this, I really feel like, you know, from human point, human logic will say that this kind of people, you know, will definitely live long life, you know, with little suffering, you know, not much difficulties in their life because they are blessed by God. And they earn it. They deserve it. A lot of time as Christians, we try to live a life to be righteous, to be God-fearing, and then, you know, to be far away from evil, which is definitely right and definitely important. And then with good children, when I say good children, just look at that. You know, the verse from 4 to 5. You know, the brothers, they love each other. They hold feasts and invite all the brothers and sisters to come and eat together. No quarreling. No fighting. No jealous, no bitterness among the brothers and sisters. That is not very easy. Okay, and they take turns, invite, you know, sisters. This is a wonderful family. This is, you know, a model for us to follow. How wonderful this family is. And again, not only among the brothers and sisters, this father, he is very cautious, very sensitive. Just pray, you know, and just make sure that their children will keep following the Lord, will never fall into temptation or sin against God. So whenever they have feast, and the father will bring animals, one for each child, and then, you know, burn offering and ask God to forgive them if anything happened that, you know, that is not doing right or they sin. God pray, I mean, Job pray for them. And this is something that Job do all the time, all the time. You know, sometimes as parents, we forgot to pray for our children. Sometimes we just let our children go in whatever direction they want. But not Job. He take it very seriously. He loves his children. He pray for them and ask God to protect them. I do believe that from time to time he will bring their children, his children saying, okay, you know, be careful. This is, you know, something we need to be aware of. You know, he try his best. So he is, you know, a good person among the people in the East. Now he is someone that God pleased because the Bible start with, and then, you know, God saying that Job is a person that is blameless. Oh, I never dreamed that I can be a person of blameless, you know. I hope so, but, you know, I can easily see a, you know, weak point in my life. Blameless, righteous. Okay, I can learn how to be, you know, a God-fearing man, but I never claim that I'm really a God-fearing man because I realize somehow in my life, sometimes the thought, the thinking come out, I would say, sorry, God, this is not correct. Because it's just you know, humanly, we are so weak, we are tempted to go the other direction. But God said that this Job, he is a blameless, righteous man, fearing God, and shun evil. It's very difficult for me to understand a person like this, a person, a family like this, will face any kind of major crisis. It's very difficult for me, at least for my Christian logic. It's very difficult for me. If someone have this kind of, you know, background, you know, someone like Job and facing some difficulty and come to me and say, Pastor, why? Really, I don't know how to answer. Really. We turn our head around and then start complaining. We ask why. We doubt God. We say we have done everything we can to be a good Christian. And why this happened to me? I mean, just cannot imagine. I can't imagine, okay? We can just look down to a few verses. Verse 13 onward. You know, just in a few verses, four things happened to Job and his family. That's unthinkable. That's unthinkable. The first one, verse 13. Verse 13, let's read together. One day, when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oldest were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the servants attacked and carried them off. They put their servants off the shore, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. All right. One day, something happened. And then, you know, this something happened is so serious that and Job come to you and say, hey, what has happened to me? How are you going to answer? You say, what happened? He said that one servant of mine came to me and saying that when my children, they were feasting and drinking, you know, at the older son's house, and the servants came and said the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off, and they put servants to the sword. They killed the servants and took all the oxen and donkeys away. How many oxen? How many? 500 pairs, 1,000 oxen. How many donkeys? 500. How many donkeys do you have? We have none. Okay, just compare. We have none and he has 500. How rich he is. 500 times more than us. Just consider how many oxen he had. He had 1,000. You say, well, Pastor, we never care about donkey. You know, who care about donkey? All right. But in the early days, the people, they are like nomadic. They are moving around. They need animals. So donkey work for them, and oxen provide milk, you know, and provide a lot of labor, you know, work, helping them to carry stuff or even do some farming, a lot of things. In Sahara Desert area, we were there for over 10 years. Without donkey, no one can survive, I tell you. Donkey is the only animal that they really respect, but at the same time, they gain their dignity because they can hit the donkey, beat the donkey to death, and donkey won't say, That is how, when they were so frustrated, they have no way to turn to, so they turn to the donkey and beat the donkey to death, and donkey will be submissive unto them. Otherwise, Africa will be a very violent area because they suffer from famine, they suffer from a lot of stuff. Donkey. Okay, I don't have time to go into that. Anyway. Just saying that if you lost position like that, you know, easily we'll start asking why. Easily we'll start saying that God, anything wrong with you? Because I'm so, you know, righteous, I'm really doing whatever you ask me to do. I'm following your instruction, everything. But why this happened to me? Okay, according to the psychologists, you know, if one thing happened to you that is not good, okay, you can manage to endure it, saying, all right, you know, yeah, let's pray and let's be calm, you know, still before the Lord, and I will regain strength. But when immediately the second test came, verse 16, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. This is within one day, the second thing happened. The first thing is the neighbor came and took their possession and then killed many of their servants. And immediately, almost within the same day, the second thing happened. You know, I'm not sure exactly why the servants say this. The fire of God fell from heaven. Okay, the first one is our neighbor. Now God is angry with you because he is punishing you. And he sent fire and killed, you know, the sheep.
How many sheep? How many? 7,000.
Have you count the goats from our neighbor? The goats running around? They are rich people from Germany. They have 10. Job have 7,000 sheep. In Africa, one of the most terrible thing driving on the highway, so-called highway, Saharan highway. Because driving for 5-10 minutes, you never see any car sometimes. Not many people have cars. But what we afraid was animals crossing the road, and sheep was frequently hit by car. Because you never know where they come from. And you never know how many. So you drive and drive with, you know, bright sunlight and then hot weather, and you are kind of dreaming and then half sleeping, half awaiting, and then you don't see any car, so you just feel like, okay, I can let go with my eye closed. Until one of the sheep decided to cross the road, and then whole thousand of sheep follow. That was terrible. That's terrible. I mean, sheep is not very clever anymore. But anyway, they follow their leader. But what I'm saying here is 7,000 sheep. It's worth a lot. Worth a lot. That means one day you return house, you found out the house burned. And then when you drive your car to make a report and you come out from the office, you found out the car stolen. And then, you know, a lot of things happening. You will feel like the sky fall on my head. What should I do? If you are Christian, then you immediately in your mind you thought, where is God? Why this happened to me? Did I do anything wrong? I hurt someone? You know, I offend God? We have a lot of questions come up from our hearts. And then within the same day, the third thing happened. Let's go to verse 17. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the chariots form 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carry them off. They what? They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. Oh, too bad news is not enough. This is the third one. I tell you, camel is considered the most, you know, prestige possession of the nomadic people. Without camel, no one can cross the desert, or no one can really go from one place to another place, you know, easily. Camel is a very interesting animal. But anyway, this is one of the most important transportation. You know, they consider their richness according to how many camels do you have. In the small town that we stay in Africa, you know, our how do you call it, mayor, you know, the head man of the city or town, he was considered most richest man in our town. He's an Arab man living in an African, you know, environment. And then he is very good friend of the president, so that's why, you know, he had the position. And I heard that he, you know, put a fan in the desert with a few oysters and fan out because he has a lot of camel. So the rumors saying that he has almost 1,000 camel, a lot, you know, richer than the president. I never seen because it's too far in the desert. But anyway, we don't have this background to understand how rich Job is. But Job has 3,000 camel. 3,000, that is a lot. In the Sahara Desert area, usually the people there in our region, they are quite gentle. But the only time they will kill, if they see a camel and you are the owner, they would like to kill you and take the camel. You understand how important the camel is to them? and he has 3,000. And when the camel was taken, Job became as poor as anybody. Nothing left. With the oxen and the donkey gone, with the sheep gone, with camel gone, nothing left. If it is you, can you still trust the Lord? If you start complaining, I can understand. If you start cursing God, I may not really agree, but I will keep silent saying, you know, I understand why you do that. This is not easy. And then the last thing, in the same day, verse 18 and 19, that is just unthinkable. While he was still speaking, the third servant, yet another messenger, the fourth messenger, came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. They are dead. All 10 of them, they are dead. As parents, sometimes we will try our best, you know, sacrifice some, at least, you know, to help our children so that they can grow up, they can really be a successful people, and they can, you know, experience, you know, good life with faith in Lord. We'll do whatever we can to help them. Now all 10 of them gone. All 10 of them gone. Remember all these four, you know, trials. This is a terrible thing happened within one day. If you are Job, how can you face this? Brothers and sisters, if we just learn how to be good Christian, our saving will be drawn very quickly, and I found out our bank account is zero or even minus. We cannot stand this kind of test. We cannot stand. When I read through Job, I realized that Job is a person that he really looks beyond the horizontal line, like how to become a good Christian. He looked beyond that. He fixed his eye on our God all the time. He may not understand why, but he knows who is with him, and the who is so important. You see, when we read Job, before this thing happened, we can read from verse 6 to verse 12, but Job, he didn't have the chance. He didn't know what happened. He didn't know what happened. So, brothers and sisters, okay, we don't look to people to be a model that we would like to be a Christian like him or her. That is dangerous. Because when they take away, everything gone. What is more important is we look beyond the horizontal. You know, we don't look at somebody's weakness and start saying that, oh, if he is like this, I don't want to be a Christian. If we look in the horizontal, we never establish, we never have our root deep enough to face any kind of testing. If we look horizontal, like how many animals I got, how much property I got, and then you depend on that, you praise God for that only, we'll never face the testing. We'll never survive. So, brother and sister, we need to learn how to, you know, put our faith beyond that. Put our faith in our Lord, in our God. That's so important. That's so important. So that's why when this happened to Job in verse 20, at this Job got up and torn his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave me, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. This is wonderful. Okay, tell you the truth. I heard many, many times a lot of the Christians, when testing came, they say this. They say the similar thing. But how long can they last? How about next day? How about next week? Can they still hold on that, saying that the Lord has taken, the given and the lost had taken? May the Lord's name be praised. How long we can hold on that? It all depends. That's the real test, how much faith we have in the Lord. How much faith we have in the Lord. You just look at verse 6 to verse 12. I'm not going to talk about this now because we don't have time. Remember, first thing, God loves you. Just remember, in the heaven, God mentioned Job's name. I do believe that God can mention your name, my name. Okay? But at the same time, Satan also mentioned your name and my name. If you are rich, and Satan will say, God, you know, you gave this person a lot of possession, richness, so that's why he loves you. If you are healthy, and the Satan will say to God, see, he's so healthy, she is so healthy, never seen any daughter for the past 13 years. So, of course, person like this will say, my God is good. What Satan is saying that if you take away the possession, the riches, and see if this person still loves you, if you take away his health, and see whether he will still love you, follow you. I mean, Satan has all the time tried to accuse us, tried to pull us away from the Lord, tried to just put, you know, doubt, you know, a lot of bitterness in our heart so that, you know, whenever we think about God, oh Lord, I've been following you for 20 years, now look at you, what have you done to me? Satan tried to make us a Christian, and turn around God and say, God, what have you done to me? We need to know deeply in our heart, if Jesus is willing to die for you and me, he is not going to do anything without good reason that will harm you and me. He will never do that. God will never fail you and me without good reason. Remember this, we need to have a root deep enough to draw all kinds of grace, strength from God, and trust God, and have good faith in him, no matter what happened. Chapter 1 mentioned 4 tests. Chapter 2 mentioned another 6 tests. You just put 10 together. Those 10 testing will kill anybody. May every Christian lose their faith. So that's why I love Job, because I find something deep there. I'm a weak Christian, you know, from time to time. I need to learn how to grab, you know, the real Christian faith in there so that I can, you know, face tomorrow, be perseverance until the last day. That is not easy. So brother and sister, whenever we feel like why God did this to me and to this Christian, we better just come to the Lord and say that, God, thank you, because I know that Jesus died for me and for this person and for that person. I don't understand why many times, but I do believe that, God, if you love us until then, you are not leaving any good thing you don't want to give to us. So in the same way, God will never allow anything happen to us so that we suffer without reason. Remember this, so that we can have good faith in our Lord and keep going until the day we face the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you because of the message in the first chapter of Job. We just pray the Lord you continue to help us to trust you, to get to know who you are and have real trust in you. No matter what happens, we will never forsake you because you never forsake us. So we would like to thank you and just help us to realize that how much you love us so that we will, you know, have peace, we feel safe, and then we will feel like, you know, loved, and we can work on in following you all the way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts.